Chapter 12. We hadn't been to the palace before. Blah had only seen it on the map, but his portal was surprisingly accurate. As soon as I stepped through, I realized we were in the courtyard of the palace, and I was incredibly relieved we'd applied our invisibility spell before we left Asgard.
"Good going, Blah,"
I whispered to the little dragon.
"The entrance is right up there,"
Asta said, with a point to our left.
"All right. Once we're inside, we split up."
"Right. Cass and Asta are with me."
"Yes."
I nodded.
"Here, take this."
I pulled the amulet Prana had given me from my chest and handed it to Ira.
"If you find anything, simply hold the amulet and think of Wrath." "Got it,"
the redhead said, and she cast me a surprisingly flirty wink.
"That shouldn't be too hard."
Though we were invisible, I'd made sure to split us up strategically. Prana was new to missions like this, so she was with me, while Ira was with Cass and Asta, because she was an incredible warrior, while the other two were still learning. I had Blah, but the girls had Inga, Ufe, and Svas. This way everyone was protected in case something went wrong. I didn't anticipate that happening, but it was always better to prepare for the worst-case scenario.
"We'll try to find the dungeon."
Asta pursed her lips and looked down. I'd asked her earlier if she could get us down there, but she wasn't sure how to get there, and she'd looked so upset by the question I wasn't going to push the issue. I couldn't blame her for forgetting how to get to the place she'd been held captive. On top of that, I doubted she'd been taken to the dungeon through the front doors, so it made sense she wouldn't know how to get there.
"Try not to touch anything,"
I reminded them.
"We'll use the amulet if we find anything that needs your attention."
"Good."
I nodded and took a deep breath.
"Let's go."
The girls followed me up the palace steps and around to the side of the building, where we found a set of double doors that weren't guarded. We made our way inside, and we were careful to not make a sound as we closed the door behind us. Once we were in the palace, I nodded to Ira, and she, Cass, and Asta slipped off down the hallway to the right, while Prana and I headed to the left. The palace was made of beautiful white and golden marble, with floors to match. There were some golden rugs down the length of the hallways, along with numerous paintings of past kings. I noticed most of the past kings had families, however the current king did not. In lieu of a family portrait, there was another painting of him sitting near a huge fireplace, with a portrait of himself hung on the mantle. He had golden hair that hung down to his shoulders, with sunken-in dark green eyes and a long, dignified nose. Based off the fireplace, he was fairly tall, with long, lanky limbs, and he had the longest, most disgusting fingernails I'd ever seen.
"How conceited,"
Prana whispered as we stopped to look at the picture.
"You have to be conceited to think your life is above that of another living, sentient being,"
I sneered. I hadn't liked this asshole already, but this painting made it even worse. The Elf King was not only completely self-obsessed, he was also a lunatic. No ruler in their right mind would put up a portrait of themselves standing next to another portrait of themselves. Part of me couldn't decide whether it was sad or just plain stupid. Maybe there was something wrong with this guy. Perhaps he belonged in the part of the realm we'd been in a few days before, where those who were ostracized by society were sent. Oh, then again, even if he did belong there, nobody would have admitted it. That was the problem with royalty, from what I'd seen over the years in the warband. Even when rulers were absolutely awful, it took an uprising to get them out of their position, since they felt it was a given right to be there. Well, no matter how awful this man had been, his parents would have given him the throne regardless. I shook my head at the ways of royalty and kept moving through the hallway. Prana and I made it to the front room, and there were two guards posted near the door. Each of them wore a black tunic with a golden waistband that held the sheath for their greatswords. I glanced back at Prana, and the sorceress nodded to me with focused brown eyes before we carefully slipped by the guards. As much as I would have liked to snap their necks right then, we needed to remain invisible for the time being. We had to figure out what the Elf King was up to,
and if he knew his palace was under attack, he was bound to immediately hide whatever he was doing with the dragons. I wanted to find the dungeon, but I made sure to take note of everything as we made our way through the castle. The palace was eerily quiet as we used the moonlight to navigate the hallways, and just when I was about to turn round and head another direction, I noticed two double doors at the far end of the hall. A tall plant adorned either side of them, but what caught my attention was a large seal set between the two doors. It was golden, and on it was a strange sigil I hadn't seen before. It looked almost like elf ears, with a tree in the middle of them.
The seal of the Elf King.
That must be his study, I said, and I waved for her to follow me as I headed toward the end of the hall. We reached the doors, and I was about to push them open, when Prayna put her hand on mine to stop me. For a brief second, a spark of electricity shot up my hand at her touch, but I took a deep breath to steady myself.
Wait,
Prayna said, and she closed her eyes and gently pressed her hand against the door. Golden sparkles spread out from her palm to cover the entire door before they disappeared a second later.
Okay,
the sorceress nodded.
It should be safe now.
There was a small creaking sound as the door opened, and I held my breath and put my hand on my sword, ready for guards to swarm the area, but nothing happened. Prayna's light brown eyes caught mine, and after a brief pause, we entered the study and closed the door behind us. The large chambers had a bookshelf on one wall and a desk near the other. There were several more shelves behind the desk, and each was adorned with various dragon paraphernalia. There were paintings of eggs, golden-plated dragon claws on display, and the jawbone of an adult dragon nearly took up the entire length of the wall above the shelves.
What is all this?
Blah glared at the display, and then turned his head away. I know, buddy, I said, and I reached up to stroke under his chin before I turned to Prayna. I don't like this. I didn't think he'd be so blatant about his obsession with dragons.
I doubt it seems odd to anybody who visits,
Prayna said, and she pursed her lips.
This realm is known to be the home of dragons, so it probably looks completely normal. I'm sure visitors assume he's simply proud of his home realm.
Oh, yes, you're right. I nodded. If only everyone knew what he was really involved in.
Yes,
Prayna said, and she looked around the room curiously.
I know you want to divine the dungeon, but do you think we can find anything in here to help us?
We'll try. Help me look around.
Of course,
the blonde sorceress replied, and she walked over to the bookcase and ran her fingers along the spines of the volumes. While she searched that side of the room, I made my way over to the desk and rummaged around. I tried the shelves first, but I didn't see anything other than what was blatantly on them, and my nose wrinkled as I took in the sight of the dragon carcass on display, so I moved to the drawers of the desk. The first couple of drawers proved to be nothing more than some deeds for other properties and a list of people held in the dungeon and their offences. Some of them were entirely petty, such as speaking ill of the king, but I just shook my head, put the paper back, and moved on. I pulled open the top right-hand drawer, saw it was only ornate pens and trinkets, and then closed it again. When I opened the drawer below it, however, my interest piqued. A piece of paper sat face up, and across the top were the words "Ancient Stories of Dragons and Their Origins." I reached for the paper, only to realize there was a large stack underneath it, so I pulled out the entire sheaf and set it on the desk. Blah hopped from my shoulder onto the work surface and sniffed at the papers as I rifled through them. There had to be hundreds of pages regarding dragon lore, and my eyebrows pulled together as I thumbed through them and quickly scanned the words. What is he up to? I wondered aloud.
What did you find?
Prayna asked, and the blonde sorceress made her way over to the desk so she could look at the papers.
What is this, dragon lore?
Yeah, I nodded. A lot of it.
Shouldn't he know about dragons? Why would he have this?
I'm not sure, I said,
But just then I flipped over a page and saw the words Garm and Helheim, so I stopped and picked up the paper.
What is it?
Brenna asked as I scanned the document.
It's instructions.
Instructions for what?
How to get someone out of Helheim,
I said, and I turned the paper around for her to see.
What in the world?
Brenna breathed as she took the page and looked it over. I continued to thumb through the pages, and I found more suspicious works. There were pages and pages of documents concerning Vinrar, his crimes against dragons, and his punishment. There were also documents outlining how the son of a bitch had forced dragons into submission.
Is that about Vinrar?
Brenna asked as she read over my shoulder.
Yes, it is, I whispered, and her light brown eyes locked on mine.
Wrath,
she said, and her voice was so quiet I wasn't even sure she'd spoken at all, except for her lips moving.
You don't think...
He's trying to figure out how to free Vinrar,
I said through gritted teeth.
It can't be.
Brenna gasped, but she looked down at the papers with incredulous brown eyes.
It has to be.
I shook my head.
This son of a bitch is trying to free Vinrar and train the dragons just like he did.
But why?
Brenna inquired, and her eyes narrowed on the papers scattered all over the desk.
Oh, my guess is so he can create a dragon army.
What makes you say that? Nothing here says he's building an army.
It doesn't have to.
I sighed and closed my eyes.
He clearly idolizes Vinrar, and he'd have no need for so many babies if he wasn't planning to use them to attack.
I suppose you're right.
Brenna frowned.
But Alfheim and Asgard are on good terms now. Do you think he's planning to attack the kingdom?
I bet he's planning to attack all the realms once his army is complete.
You think he wants to control all 9 realms?
I think so. I don't see any other reason why he would need so many dragons. He's building an army, and he's buying up all the dragons from the dealers at the same time. That way there's nobody to stand in his way.
He's not going to like it when he finds out you've already taken out several of his dealers.
No, he was probably planning to kill them anyway. I doubt he'll care too much.
You're right.
She sighed, and she turned to me with a saddened look of defeat.
What can we do?
We're going to stop him,
I growled, and I lifted my chin slightly before I gathered up the papers and shoved them back in the desk drawer. I would have loved to attack the asshole right then, but the girls were somewhere in the castle, and there were guards posted all round. It was too risky at the moment. We needed to formulate a plan first. I picked up the amulet from my neck and thought of Ira. The small stone began to glow, so I could only hope the redhead had noticed.
Shite,
I breathed when I realized I still didn't know where she was at. Ira would know we'd found something now, but that didn't help us find her at all.
Breda, can you do a spell to find Kaz and the other girls?
Not right now.
Her golden eyebrows pulled together.
The invisibility spell will shield them. It won't last much longer, though, so we need to gather them and get out of here.
Wow. I have an idea.
What is it?
Oh, well, I was able to look through Svarse's eyes once before. I may be able to do it again.
You'd be able to see where they're at, then?
Brenna nodded.
Exactly. But it will take me a minute, so I need you to stand guard.
Of course. Do what you must.
I nodded, and I placed both of my hands on the desk. Then I closed my eyes and breathed deeply. I thought of Svarse, her colouring, how she was probably wrapped around Iris' neck. And then I cleared my mind and allowed the darkness to settle in. When I opened my eyes, I was once again inside Svarse's mind, and I could see several red strands of hair in front of me as I peered out from Ira's shoulder. The little dragon was scared, but also trying to be brave. There was something else, too, though. I focused on her feelings and realized it was sadness. Svarse was in a dark area with only a single candle to light up the place, and as she looked around, I could tell they were in the dungeon. It smelled moldy and damp, and there were cages hung on the wall just as I'd seen before when I'd been in the mind of the other dragon there. I quickly blinked and wound up back in the study with Brenna.
Wrath?
she said as she rushed over to me.
Are you all right?
Yeah, I'm fine. They're in the dungeon.
You did it?
She asked, and her jaw fell slightly.
You saw through Svas's eyes?
Yes. I nodded. How long until the spell wears off?
Oh, maybe 15 minutes.
All right, let's go. I grabbed the sorceress's hand and pulled her to the door. We hurried through the castle until we found a small door with stairs behind it that led down below the castle, and Prana and I rushed down the steps until we reached the landing. From there, it was clear this was the area the Elf King kept everything he didn't want seen. I could hear the cries of men coming from one direction, and some animal sounds came from the other. "This way," I said, as I grabbed Prana's wrist and pulled her along once more. Blah flew ahead, and after a few minutes we stumbled into a large room and found Kaas, Asta, and Ira all standing around a large desk. This was the exact room I'd seen before, when I saw through the little dragon's eyes, but unlike before, there were no babies in the cages. And I shuddered to think of what might have happened to them. The Elf King had probably moved them somewhere so they could undergo training for his army.
Morath, thank goodness,
Kaas said when she saw me.
The spell will wear off soon. We must go. Wait,
Asta said, and she gestured down the hallway.
There's a dragon down there.
My eyebrows pulled together as I followed Asta to a large cell, and before I even looked through the door, I knew the dragon inside was the same one I'd originally seen through. It was the dragon who'd been knocked unconscious with the gas from the herbs. I lifted my head to look inside, and I saw the sweet boy curled up as far back from the door as he could get, which wasn't far, considering his size. He wasn't small, like most of the dragons that were taken. He had to be at least half a year to a year old, based on his proportions, and my heart broke when I thought about the fact that he'd probably spent most of that time in a cell. "Hey there," I whispered, and the dragon looked up at me with bright silver eyes. "Do you know who I am?" He cocked his head to the side, slightly, and I could sense he felt I was familiar. "I've been here with you before. You're going to be okay."
"Wrath, what do we do?"
Asta asked, and I turned around to look at the elf girl.
"Kaas, Prana, can you undo the lock? We have to save him."
"And we will," I assured her, but then I closed my eyes and let out a deep breath. "But not today."
"What?"
the elf girl asked with a frown.
"Why not?"
"Prana and I figured out the Elf King's plan, or at least part of it, but we can't let him know we were here. And if we free this boy, it could give away our presences. At the very least, it would alert the Elf King that someone was in his dungeon."
"As much as it breaks my heart to say it, Wrath is correct. The Elf King cannot know we were here. If he does, he may do something drastic, and we'll never figure out his entire plan before we can stop him."
"We'll come back for him," I assured the girls. "But right now we have to be smart about this."
"I understand."
Asta frowned.
"I don't like it, but I understand."
"Yes, I don't like it either," I told her, and I turned back to the cell door. "We'll come back to get you, okay? Just hold on. We'll be back soon, I promise." The dragon's silver eyes landed on mine, and I could sense his terror and sadness. It broke me to have to leave him, but for the moment, it was all I could do. I needed to take the Elf King down in one fell swoop. That was the best chance I had at freeing all the dragons he had locked away, versus just this one, no matter how badly I wanted to free him.
"Wrath, the spell is wearing off. We must go."
"Right," I agreed, and I turned to Blah. The little blue dragon closed his eyes, and a few seconds later a portal appeared, and we all stepped through. We arrived back in my courtyard, and for the first time since we'd entered the castle I took a full, deep breath. The fire was still going in the pit, so I walked over and tossed a log on it before I sat down and put my head in my hands.
"What did you guys find out?"
Ira asked as she walked over and took a seat next to me.
"You said you know the Elf King's plan. What is it?" "He's creating an army." "An army?"
Kaas asked, and she looked at me with wide violet eyes full of shock.
"An army of dragons?"
"Yes," I nodded. "We believe he intends to try and take over all 9 realms.
"What?"
Asta shook her head.
Why would he do that?
He's a self-obsessed asshole. But more than that, he looks up to Vinrar.
He what?
Ira asked, and her jaw dropped.
The son of a bitch who started the dragon trade?
Yes, one and the same.
Who would ever look up to that monster?
She scoffed with a shake of her head.
I'm happy to know he's in Helheim where he belongs. That may not be the case for long. I thought Helheim was inescapable.
Kaas looked at each of us.
Isn't it?
I don't know anymore. I shook my head. The king had documents in his study, and they described how to get someone out of Helheim with a spell.
What?
Kaas asked, and she turned to Prena.
Is that even possible? I've lived long enough to know anything is possible.
Prena said, and she pursed her plump pink lips.
Even something so terrible as this. How awful.
Asta murmured, and her yellow eyes landed on mine.
We must stop him.
We will. We just have to make sure we do it right. If we attack too soon, the king could change his plan, and then we'd be back at step one.
Shite, you're right. I want to attack that asshole right now, but we need to figure out where he keeps all his dragons and what exactly he's planning first.
Right. I nodded. Especially with the agreement the Elf King has with Asgard. We need to make sure we do this discreetly and wait for the perfect moment to attack.
Maybe this will help?
Kaas said, and she pulled a piece of paper from her satchel and offered it to me. What is it? I asked as I took the small note.
It's a note from the king to a frost giant named Reaver. It's a sales agreement for eggs.
My eyes shot from the paper to the Valkyrie. This is the king's next move? I asked as I shook the paper.
That's right.
Kaas said with a grin. Well, now we really were one step ahead.